get a cordless mic for Brother Putnam. Is this one? We are having monumental problems with our mics, and the thing about it, these are new mics. And Brother Leonardson just told me that he has called like 3 times, and they haven't returned the call. So you probably heard some of them squealing lately, and all kinds of feedback, and a little bit of everything. And the batteries won't stay in the mic. They fall out. And in the process of falling out, then they start losing volume or gaining volume. I'm not for sure why it's one or the other, but nevertheless, that's what happens. Well, separate and apart from all that, well, let's see if we can turn this one on and get on this one. Separate and apart from all of that, we're here to have church and hear the word of the Lord by such a great man of God, man that all Wisconsinites love. We love Brother Putnam. He's done such an outstanding job in leadership here in our district. He is respected and revered throughout our fellowship. He teaches a lot of camp meetings, preaches a lot of camp meetings, men's retreat, marriage retreats and such. And we love him dearly. Let's give him a great big Madison welcome as he comes, brings us the word of the Lord. God bless you, Brother Putnam. God bless this man.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's good to be at Calvary tonight. And I was just planning on coming and sitting over here and enjoying a service. But Brother Grant asked us if we would speak tonight, and we're honored to do so. And I just want to say I know that I'm about a month and a half late. But a year ago, I was scheduled for a men's retreat on the date of Brother and Sister Grant's 40th anniversary service. Amen. And I just want to thoroughly, from the district superintendent, say how much we appreciate John and Darlene Grant and 40 years of service, 4 decades, amen, here at Calvary Gospel Church. God bless you, Brother Grant. We love you and thank you. Praise God. And then I want to thank the quizzers. My Lord, we have had such a great success with our beginners and our junior quizzers across the district. And the Madison teams came right through, and we're just very thrilled about that. I know this is all old news to you, but this is the first time I get a chance to say congratulations to those that are involved in our quiz ministry. And I just got to share this with you. The Green Bay Church, Brother and Sister Indris, this was their first year to have a quiz team. And I believe that they came in 5th in the nation, I believe. Amen. The very first year, their beginner's team. But what so impressed Sister Indris was, as all of the Wisconsin teams were quizzing, all the other Wisconsin teams were right there rooting on each other, amen, to victory. And she said, I did not see that as much in other district teams. I thank God for a district that recognizes that it's not about Calvary or about Oshkosh or wherever. It's about the kingdom of God, that we serve one Lord. We're under one faith, one baptism, and we're just thankful. Put your hands together, amen, and just worship our great God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Just came back from General Conference, tremendous conference that we've had, amen, and seeing a tremendous move of the Holy Ghost. Some of you that were there, I saw some of you there at conference, and to the others that watched it via video and live streaming on the internet, praise God, but it was phenomenal preaching, and we were honored to be a part of that move in St. Louis. And you might as well make your plans, because the next 2 years, it's also going to be in St. Louis. And so save up your bottle caps and go down, and let's meet all together in St. Louis next year, if the Lord should tarry. And I'll tell you, the way things are going, folks, I think it's time we start looking up and we start believing. Amen. And lots going on, amen, in this country alone, let alone around the world. Amen. And for all you married folk, I just told Brother Grant, my son-in-law just saw a sign in a store, and it said, marriage is like a deck of cards. It starts out with two hearts and a diamond, but if you're not careful, it could end up with a club and a spade. So so be careful out there now. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 13 this evening. Amen. To maybe do some preaching tonight. I appreciate my wife being here and my mother. My mother has been gravely ill. And we're just honored that she's still with us. Amen. Verse 19, the words of our Lord Jesus, he says, and this is chapter 6, verse 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For, read verse 21 with me, will you? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Lord spoke in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. I want to speak to you tonight about this subject, the treasure of heaven. The treasure of heaven. How many are planning on going to heaven? Amen. No doubts in your mind. Amen. By the grace of God, we someday are going to see him face to face. All of us want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But praise God, I want to go to heaven because I know that the treasure of heaven is what we want to talk about tonight. Amen. Let's all pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Father, for your goodness and grace. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this assembly. I thank you for its leadership, God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just take, dear Lord God, a coal off your altar, Lord, and touch these lips and my mind. And I pray for your anointing and for your results. And we'll be very careful, God, to give you all honor, praise, and glory. And we ask it in the name that is above all names. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Everybody said, amen.
We have a brother over here that's having a seizure. So I'd like for all of you to pray. Would you do that, Dan Swanson? Would you just pray? God, we pray right now. And we're asking, God, that you touch Dan. I'm praying, God, that you deliver him from this. I bind this right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm believing, God, that you're doing great and wonderful and mighty things right now in his mind, in his heart, in his life. Touch him, Lord, and deliver him from this. In Jesus' name. I don't know if we can take him out. He's a good-sized guy. Last time he had a seizure, we had to call the ambulance. It was pretty bad. You know? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. And I want to go down and talk with them. I think Kitty just left out. I wanted to ask her a question about this. Oh, Kitty, could you come down here, please? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. We feel that Dan is okay. Now what we're going to do, we're going to have ask Brother Putnam to continue. Now, would you please do this? Would you look at the pulpit? We have a crew over there that's going to take care of Dan, okay? And so you keep your eyes up here as he brings us the word of the Lord. Give the Lord a great big hand. Would you do that? All right. Brother Putnam.
You use your own judgment. Thanks, God.
Okay. All right. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. When you hear the names of people such as Bill Gates, Donald Trump, J. Paul Getty, or the late Steve Jobs, and I could go on and on with some list of names, I believe that all of us would understand here tonight that the common denominator that places their names in the same sentence has to do with their wealth. Amen? And these are or were some of the richest men in the United States. Bill Gates found his treasure in technology. Donald Trump in real estate and development. J. Paul Getty in oil, and the late Steve Jobs in founding the Apple Company, or Apple Incorporated. Are there any iPhones or iPads or iPods in this room right now? Hello? And then you have names like Justin Bieber, Janet Jackson, almost sacrilege, Lady Gaga, or names like Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Braun, who have found their earthly treasure in entertainment and in sports. Or consider the royal families of the earth, who are bastions of inherited or incurred wealth over centuries of time. Do you realize that the crown jewels of England are estimated to be worth over 20 billion English pounds, and that's just the Queen's jewelry box. King Fahad of Saudi Arabia estimated to be worth over $200 billion. Men and women around the globe have given, risked, and lost their lives in search of buried, sunken, or hidden treasures. But I'm here this evening to express to you the words of the Apostle Peter. Standing before a lame man at a gate called Beautiful, and he declared, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." Do you have something here tonight that a lot of the world does not have? Amen. "But such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You may be here this evening and you don't own silver or gold, and you don't own shares in a stock market, and you don't even have come close to having an inheritance of a large sum of money. You may be here this evening just trying to make ends meet from month to month or week to week, but I'm here to tell you that if you have and you've asked God to forgive you of your sins, and if you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, then you're among the most wealthiest and blessed people on the face of this earth, and we're fixing to leave it. Somebody said, "Praise the Lord." Because if you have Jesus Christ within you, then you have the treasure of heaven living on the inside. God of glory, the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. A couple years ago, I remember preaching here, amen, and I brought a PowerPoint presentation of the planets. Maybe some of you would remember that. And the different comparisons and sizes. And we talked about the eons of our universe. And we said and declared in that message that our God is greater than everything, amen, that he has created. Can you understand the awesome greatness of our God? Why? So that he could even associate, and that we could even comprehend that he had to robe himself in a flesh, in a body, and come to us, praise God, as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a cattle's eating trough, amen, and without fanfare, he came to all of us in this world. Just as the angel told his mother Mary, said, and behold, Luke chapter 1 and 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name, what church? What church? He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob. For how long, church? Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. In verse 35 of that same chapter it says, and the Holy Ghost, Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Anybody got the sonship in your heart tonight? Praise God. John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word, verse 14 says, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to understand this evening that our God did not come to this earth robed in king's garments. He was not born in a palace. He was not carried by servants, nor did he ride upon noble stallions. No, he came to us humbly and without pretense to show each and every one of us that his coming was not just for the noble and the rich. He did not just come for those that have means, but he came for everybody, regardless of social status or monetary wealth. He came seeking and saving that which is lost. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. Because that's you and I. And the last time that I checked, the Word declares, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thus, all of us have a need of the treasure of heaven. Jesus taught in Matthew 6 and 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Where earth, upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where neither thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure, everybody say treasure. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Now, I would trust, church, brothers and sisters in Christ, I trust that you are not banking your entire life on finding the wealth of this world as your only quest for success in this life. Jesus said in Luke 12 and 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I don't know what these people do with billions of dollars. I mean, how many cars can you buy? How many mansions can you have? I used to live in Germany. You know that picturesque castle that they show in the mountains that looks like the Disneyland castle? I've been there several times. Do you realize that was King Ludwig's hunting lodge? Took 15 years to build it. He lived in it 17 days and he died in 17 inches of water. Little supposition about that. He says, the rich man said, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, and this is where we're at, America. This is where we are at, brothers and sisters. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, I know he's meaning this, amen to this, about the physical. But in the spiritual church, some of us have been around now a long time. Some of us have been in service after service a long time. And if we're not careful, we can get to that point where we think that, well, we've got it made now. We've got seniority in this thing. Oh, no, my friend, you got to keep on the firing line and have the treasure of heaven on the inside. God said, thou fool. The Bible tells us a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21 says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. True success, folks, it's not found in our deposited amounts in a bank or in its stock dividends. I hope that you are banking your richness upon the state of your spiritual walk with God. You remember the chorus that states, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ for us. And now, everybody say, and now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Has the Lord done anything for anybody out here today? Hallelujah. You see, brothers and sisters, where your treasure is, that's where your true heart is at. That is why being a Christian is not a Sunday go to church relationship, but it's a relationship that matters 24/7. That's why coming to the house of God is exciting. That's what makes prayer so important and inviting. That's what makes giving of our finances so enjoyable, of which God wants us to be a hilarious giver. Knowing that we are simply laying up our treasures where it's going to truly count, where it will not be wasted. You remember when the three wise men, or three kings, however you want to describe them, when they came seeking the Christ child? They brought him gifts, and these gifts were not cheap trinkets, my friend. Those gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh are now estimated that these men, first of all, traveled 1,000 miles following a star to present to the king born of the Jews worth over $2 million in our account. Yet the babe that they came to honor and adore was the real true gift for all of humanity. He was the true treasure we're searching and finding. Jesus taught in Matthew 13 and 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now, the field itself, I believe, represents what we're all made of, and that is dirt. We come from the ground, the dust of the ground. At best, amen, we're just glorified mud balls, what Brother Urshan used to say. That's at best, that's what this flesh is. And we spend so much time on the flesh. But you know what? When Jesus walked on this earth, when Jesus taught, amen, he didn't walk around with a halo on his head. He didn't walk around with wings. He didn't walk around with any kind of resemblance to anything but being an ordinary man. But when he spoke, when indeed he taught, there was something that got into the hearts and the minds of people, amen, that showed that he was more than just a man. When he could stand on the bow of a ship in the middle of a storm and say, "Peace, be still." When he could bring sight to a blind eye, or amen, strength to a lame individual. Amen. That's the kind of God that we're serving. He said, when you find that kind of field, when you can find that treasure hid in that field, because you see, the treasure that was hid was that light, that life, which is the light of men. Amen. And when a man hath found him, I don't know about you, but when Jesus found me and I found him, praise God. Amen. It's been 42 years now, but I tell you, I don't want to indeed lose, amen, that initial love and excitement about living for God. I'm more excited now about living for God than I was then. Why? Because I've come down the road a while. I've seen what God can do. I've seen how God can answer prayer. I've seen how God can bless. I've seen how God can heal. I've seen how God can deliver. What is this kingdom of heaven? Luke 17 and 21 says, neither shall they say, "Lo here," or "Lo there," for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Wow. Everybody say it with me. Wow. Say it backwards. Do you understand what we've got on the inside of us? Romans 14 and 17, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. Everybody say righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Anybody have the Holy Ghost in here tonight? Anybody got that treasure on the inside of you tonight? Praise God. I ask you this evening, what is that treasure worth to you? Is he worth your all in all? Is he worth trusting you? Is he worth your trust in everything to him? Is he worth your time? Is he worth your possessions? Is he worth your life? Let me ask. Have you taken ownership of your being, that is your flesh, that field, so to speak, where the treasure of heaven is hid? As the gospel song says, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You see, Jesus is our treasure. He is the treasure of heaven. And you and I who are born again have him right here. And we have become the depository of his grace, of his mercy, and of his love. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, he said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined where? Where, church? in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Does anybody indeed in this room understand, praise God, that you've got the light of revelation of the mighty God in Christ, that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, with all of thy strength. Then in verse 7 he says, but we have this treasure. Everybody say treasure. In earthen vessels. You know, if Paul was writing in our day, you see, an earthen vessel was just a clay pot. It was just something ordinary. It was just something that everybody used every day. If he was probably writing in our day, he would say, we have this treasure in styrofoam cups. How many of you use one of these almost on a daily basis? Lift up your hand. You use one of these almost on a daily basis. What do we do with styrofoam cups? Do you ever get involved in a conversation and after you drink your coffee or your tea or your pop or whatever, you crumble it up, you throw it away, you just discard it. I've seen some people, depending on how long the conversation is, bro, I've seen some people, you know, they become great artists. They just, you know, mark. And then if they get really desperate while they're talking, you know, they'll punch holes in it and, you know, and they literally almost tear it up from... When we were in Germany, right when we were leaving, the ladies of the church in Stuttgart, they bought Sister Putnam a most beautiful Dimitas tea set. Very ornate on the outside. Matter of fact, to this day, I have never drank from those cups. They are behind glass. They are hollowed. Amen. They just sit there to look at. Amen. But you know what? When she has served tea in those, it's very interesting. You know, when they served the tea and those, and she served the teas in those cups, the ladies will take their little pinky, and I can't do it with this cup, but they'll go, you know what they're doing, don't you? They're looking where this was made. They're looking at what kind of china this was made of. They're looking, their whole emphasis is upon the container. Amen. They have forgot altogether about the contents. I'm telling you, church, that's why God has to put this thing in earthen vessels, because we're just everyday people. We are not rich. We're not indeed all of that as far as the world is concerned. But bless God, we're the richest people on the face of the globe. Because we've got the treasure on inside these earthen vessels. But I'm saying, church, is we are rich. Matter of fact, all of us, I don't care what your salary is. If we're born again, we are so wealthy and blessed, we don't even realize it. Quit looking to the world for your success status. Look to Jesus. You've got the greatest treasure that this life will ever award us. And it's for everybody. Including you and you and whoever else is here this evening, sitting and listening and contemplating whether what I'm telling you is right or not. You see, church, if the riches of this world, is what brought you and I true joy, then that's what we probably should pursue. But if being rich, according to this world's definition of rich, is what brings happiness, then why is the greatest percentage of suicides done by the wealthiest of people? Stand with me tonight. It's very simple. Because earthly wealth cannot bring you peace. I don't care what kind of money that you have, or bank accounts, or stock market, or whatever. When the doctor says, at most 6 months. It don't matter how much you got. But indeed, it does matter what you've got. Because I've seen some of the most beautiful saints of God in their most trying situations have the peace of God that rests upon them. And they could stand and say, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray in know how much longer my mother has. Doctors have not given her a good word. She's the second to the last of 15 children. She's the only one surviving. My grandparents, Tom and Mary Mock, my grandmother Mary went to an old Brush Arbor meeting in southern Ohio. Some African-American preacher by the name of William Seymour was preaching. One-eyed man. He was preaching something called receiving the Holy Ghost. And yet he himself had not yet received it. My grandmother came home that night speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. My grandfather and my grandmother were going to a certain denominational church, and Mary came home quite different that night. She had joy in her soul. She had peace about her. My grandfather went to town that next day, took the wagon and horse, as I've been told the story. And on his way back, he said, now Lord, if what Mary received is real, then I want it. Next thing you know, my grandfather fell back off of the bench, off of the wagon. He was in the bed of the wagon, rolling from one side to the other, and he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. The grand, I never understood my grandma and grandpa because they were quite elderly people when I was born. But I knew my grandma, she was a prayer. Forgive me for walking down memory lane right now, folks, but I'm talking about a treasure. A treasure that you can't go to East Town, West Town, or any place else here in town and purchase. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough social status. You don't have enough prestige. But I thank God you don't have to have any of that stuff to get what I'm talking about tonight. You just got to have the right name in baptism, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that will indeed wash you of your sins. Sister Leonardson. My mom grew up, never got the Holy Ghost. Never ever made a start for God. I remember my aunt taking me to a Pentecostal church when I was about 11 years old. My uncle was preaching. I remember going to the altar. You see, I was scared to death of dying at 11. You know why? Because I knew even at 11 that I was not a very good boy. And I was afraid of going to hell. And I don't know, but something just intensified that fear after going to that altar. I didn't receive the Holy Ghost. But somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost here tonight. Jeff, I went home and I saw my cousin. First thing I said to my cousin Michael, he's 8 months younger than I said, Michael, we're going to hell. That was when I was about 11. My life didn't get any better all through my teens until I was 20 years of age. I went to a church, a charismatic church. I went to a prayer meeting. I was invited by my cousin to a prayer meeting, a full gospel businessman's prayer meeting, and a very nice lady who I've been now married to for 40 years. Came down to visit me at college that weekend. And I hope I'm not boring you. And I said, how'd you like to go to a prayer meeting tomorrow night? You got to understand, that's the last place you would have found us on a Saturday night. And we went and we were there for 7 hours. I thought eternity had begun. But I knew that these people, catch me, I knew these people had something that I didn't have. And I knelt down on a wooden floor and asked God for forgiveness of my sins. And then we sat in a chair, and Sister Putnam first, and these people just prayed for her. And all of a sudden, I never heard anybody speak in tongues before. She never heard anybody speak in tongues before. And all of a sudden, she started speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And then I sat in that chair. Amen. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You talk about a treasure! I called home and I said, Mom, I got the Holy Ghost. She understood what I was talking about, but only by mental understanding. She, Alice Putnam, that's here tonight, She went into her bathroom. She was cleaning house, and she was cleaning her Venetian blinds in her bathroom. And she was thanking God for filling her son with the Holy Ghost. And an audible voice spoke to her and said, "What about you, Alice?" And immediately she went to her bedside and she began to repent. Amen. And she received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? A lot spoken about today in the world about inheritance. My, what an inheritance, Brother Grant, that you received from your family. What an inheritance, Roy, Brother Grant, that you've received. Amen. What an inheritance. Oh, we couldn't give it just passing it on. But I'll tell you, parents, that's why you got to live it. That's why you got to be faithful. That's why, indeed, you got to show your kids that this is the treasure of heaven. Earthly wealth will never provide you true happiness. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can make you whole. What I'm saying is, if you're here this evening and if you've not yet received the treasure, you can leave this service tonight a rich person, a happy person, a completed person. The difference is discovering the real treasure, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, by giving Him your all and asking Him for forgiveness, and being born again of water and of spirit, and letting Him fill you with Himself, the very treasure of heaven. Hallelujah. I invite all of us tonight. Hallelujah. It may be a long time since you've come down front. I don't know. But praise God, if you would like the Holy Ghost, would you just come on over here right now? Praise God. Hallelujah. If you want to repent of your sins, come on down here in the middle. Hallelujah. If you need healing for your body tonight, come on down over here. Praise God. But I'm telling you, the Prince of Peace, amen, will grant you that peace. And if anybody else wants to just come in down and just say, "Lord, I thank you for the treasure. I'm sorry, God, that my mind is being in a whole lot about this world and its ways. But God, I'm thankful for the treasure."